I just want to encourage you, sir, in what you're doing, because you are doing the right thing, and she will thank you later.
Right. And I guess it also depends on how you put your wife first. Mm-hmm. Like if you were supposed to pick your daughter up at 8, your wife called you and said, hey, can you come home and bring me the remote control? I can't find it. And then you left. Like that's kind of jacked up. Like there's a level of putting the person
not
first
neglect.
Or whatever. How does these things normally start?
Has it been that long?
It's been a while. I'm excited. Why am I excited? Because we're here. We're back. We're doing another doggone episode of the podcast. But more so, I'm excited because of my co-host, who I love the most, after Jesus and the Lord and stuff. Right?
That's yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. My amazing wife. In fact, let me introduce her officially. This is the introduction. If you ever come to one of our touring events and you hear me introduce her on stage, those events are called Funny How Marriage Works. Mm-hmm. And I say a bunch of stuff in the front, but it ends with this phrase right here. I don't need to carry on because you probably read about her in Proverbs 31. And that's 100% true. Like when I read Proverbs, I think about you. Oh, that even rhymes.
Sweet.
Cool. My wife, Ebony, give a round of applause, everybody. Yay! Yeah, okay, guys. We've been doing this for a while. Yes, great. So how are you, my amazing wife?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm really good. Cool. We said that like we didn't drive here together. How have you been? Oh, great. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess we kind of got an announcement to kind of make, but this isn't the official announcement date. It's just like an announcement. Mm-hmm. We have prayed and decided. Which camera am I? I'm at this one, right? You want to tell me? Let me tell me.
You do it. I can't do it.
Okay. Well, let me see. This is like you ever go to a restaurant and your waiter approaches you, and the waiter's taking care of you at first. They bring in your drinks and they get ready to take your order. But when they get to take your order, there's somebody else there, and they're like, "Hey, I'm going on break. This is Jeff. Jeff's going to take over from here." So what's going to happen? There's no Jeff, though. We're going on a break. But not just a break. Like, this is the third to the last episode of the podcast. Yeah. So after this, we won't be carrying on with the Funny How Life Works podcast. Maybe we'll start it back up at some point. But right now, we clearly feel like in this season, it's time to push a pause on this thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because I do enjoy being here on the podcast. But I also know that God has some other things for us to do in this season that are actually pretty awesome, too.
Really, really awesome. Like, we have this amazing community that we've developed, which is the Marriage Works community. Super crazy excited about that. All right. Non-sponsor sponsor. Wow. I got one.
Okay. Good.
Because you didn't.
I did not.
I don't know why
I was taken off guard like we don't do this every time.
Yeah. The non-sponsor sponsor for the potentially third to the last episode is Scent Church.
Yay.
Yeah. Scent Church is a great place. Super smart people. The pastor's a person.
That's important.
I mean, but he's just a regular dude, which is what makes him such a great pastor. Mm-hmm. So Scent Church. So if you go to scentchurch.cc and find out what they're doing, they do some great stuff. They connect with this thing called Mimi's
Pantry,
mm-hmm. where they feed people who give them money. And then what else? They feed people who can't afford food, which is awesome. They also help immigrants mm-hmm. become citizens
yep.
who are here and stuck and don't know what to do, can't work. It's just a great organization, some great people. So scentchurch.cc. Boom. Check them out. That's the non-sponsor sponsor. They didn't give us no money. We just think they're great.
Yes, we do.
So now we're going, this episode really, man, wow. Anyway, I'm a little emotional, as you could kind of tell. Like, we really prayed about this, and this is the thing we got to do. But with that being said, some people have sent in some voicemails.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're going to listen to some voicemails, and we're going to answer your questions. And we're going to ask them thoroughly. Any question you have about life or any question you have in the world, we're going to give you the truth. We're going to give it to you right now. That's none of that is true at all, actually. We're just going to do our best to come up with some sort of response. So you may be asking yourself, you may be asking yourself, what could you learn from the third to the last episode from Michael Jr. and his amazing wife, Ebony, about marriage and about life? Mm-hmm. Well, you're about to find out.
Okay.
I love this podcast.
You'll be laughing out loud and all of a sudden, boom, something that can really help you drops in your lap.
I like it because I unexpectedly learn about life.
It is so funny.
I get to laugh and learn about life at the same time.
I like listening to Funny How Life Works with the car of my parents.
With the car and my parents. Okay.
Yo, so we got a voicemail. You want to tell them the phone number to the voicemail?
It is 214-308-1177.
Why in the world are we giving you a voicemail when this is the third to last episode? Well, you can leave a voicemail and we may answer your voicemail on another platform. Maybe in the Marriage Works community.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on social media. Maybe on Facebook, which is social media. I'm being redundant. Maybe on Instagram, which is social media. I'm being redundant. Maybe on MySpace. Probably not on MySpace.
Not MySpace.
Dude, MySpace is still around.
I know. I saw the website and I'm like, really? Like, who's coming here?
MySpace is still there. I went and checked it out. My third grade teacher was there. It was weird. I'm like, you're still here? I didn't even know you was talk on MySpace. So, all right, cool. With that being said, voicemails, these are people who call. We haven't heard these voicemails before.
Nope.
We're just going to take the voicemails.
Hearing them fresh with you.
And these are the voicemails that you guys found that were about marriage, right? So if you want to learn about your marriage, let me say this too. There's a giveaway we're going to do at the end of this. Well, I said giveaway, but there's four things that you can do to improve your marriage. Four things. We talk about this on the Instagram page and all the other stuff. But there's four things you can do to improve your marriage right now. And we actually created like a, what would you call it?
It's like a resource. A quick resource.
It's a quick resource that you can use. You can sit. You can watch. It's a video. Me and my wife explaining some stuff. So you can do these four things to improve your marriage right now. How do you get the four things, though? How do they get them?
MichaelJr.com/4things.
Boom. /4things. So you got to go to your house, find four things, and just cut them. You cut them and you send us the video in, and then we'll tell you what to do with your marriage. But if you actually do that, then there's some other issues probably going on. So with that being said, let's listen to our first voicemail.
Hey, I was wondering if you and your wife, Micah Jr., had any advice for a single mom trying to raise up a child on the way that he should go. And I really enjoy your show, so I just wanted to ask that question. And I thank you for your ministry and your service. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Oh, that is so cool. Is she calling for her mom?
I don't know. She sounds like she's 10.
Yeah, she probably gets that a lot. Cool. What would you give to a single mom? You have any information or insights about single motherhood?
I actually do. I was a single mom for 8 years.
Sure was. I dipped for a little while. I was like, I ain't. I'm just, that's not
before
true.
Before I met him.
That's not true. Before she met me.
My best advice is to model it. For my daughter and I, for those 8 years, every time I had an opportunity to be at church, she was there with me. I put her in children's church. She saw me reading my Bible. We prayed together in the morning and in the evening. Just instilling those ways to connect with God, like teaching them how to connect with God relationally, is really the best way to train them in the way they should go. And they see you doing it, then they think, oh, this must be something important. And so,
The thing that stands out for me with that question, Melissa, that wasn't her name, was it? Did she leave her name?
Nope.
Okay. No name lady. Speaking of names, the thing that stuck out for me was your name in the beginning of this. You want to be super sensitive to any words, any phrases you put after the words, I am. Because when you say whatever follows I am is what you really believe. And whatever you believe is what you will create in your life. So your very first words, and this is really coming to me right now, is I am a single mom. So if that's part of your identity, that's who you'll always be. But the truth is you're a mom. I mean, that's the real part. Single right now is just something that happens to be in this season or whatever the case is. But I would question if you want to identify yourself as a single mom. Or if you just want to get advice as a parent,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it's wide open. Or at least put a little bit of a little bit of softener on that. I'm currently a single mom, or I'm not married yet, or whatever that thing is. Just leave yourself some more opportunities, because one of the main things you want out of life is to be correct about what you believe about yourself. So if you believe that that's who you are, then you'll continue to see those things. And it's fine being single. If that's what you want, that's fine. I just want to point that out for you. As far as the kid stuff, yeah, I don't even talk. I don't even make eye contact with my kids without checking with her first. So her advice was great. I would go with that.
That's not true.
I don't look at them. Look them in the eye. Oh, no, I don't do that. Because no. Next voicemail. Let's take another voicemail.
Hey, Michael Jr., I have a question.
Cool. That's why we're here.
Me and my wife been married for 20 years. I got my daughter's her stepdaughter, but she feels like I give my wife and my stepdaughter more attention than her, but me and her clash because of her lifestyle. But I'm sticking to my guns. My wife comes first. I still love my daughter, but I don't agree with what she's doing, but I still love her, but she feel like I don't love her because I put my wife before her. What are your thoughts on it? Have a good day, Mike.
Wow, you can hear the pain in his voice a little bit. That was you kind of feel it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool, man. What I would do is look at the daughter and then just slap her one time. Hear me out. Like, that's not true. Don't slap your daughter. That'd be weird, right? What do you want to say? I got some stuff, but I'm gonna let you go first because I need time to think, actually.
I just want to encourage you, sir, in what you're doing, because you are doing the right thing, and she will thank you later.
Right. And I guess it also depends on how you put your wife first. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were supposed to pick your daughter up at 8, your wife called you and said, hey, can you come home and bring me the remote control? I can't find it. And then you left. Like, that's kind of jacked up. Like, there's a level of putting the person
not
first
neglect.
Or whatever. But there's something that you said that kind of made me pause a little bit. When you said the phrase, I'm a hold to my guns, like, that was a little... it's a little aggressive there, meaning it's almost as if you want to do the right thing. You want to put your wife first because you're supposed to put your wife first. It's not about a supposed to. It's about I want to. Like, that's honoring God. It's the difference between running up a mountain because you want to run up a mountain or running up a mountain because you're getting chased by a dog. Right. So you want to be doing it because it's literally the right thing to do, but you don't want to be fighting against it. Right. So if your daughter is feeling like she's not as important to you, then I would address that with her and really find out, you know, you can investigate her feelings. But for you, I would get curious about, why are you saying I'm holding to my guns? Like, there was some energy there that was a little aggressive. As in, I don't want my daughter telling me what to do, or I don't, you know, don't nobody tell me what to do. There was a little something there. So I would look at that and get curious about it and be like, hey, Lord, what is this in me? Like, what is this thing? Because I put my wife first, and my kids just know it. I know, and as you noticed from what she mentioned, that we technically have, if you wanted to, like you say, a stepdaughter is what I currently have. I don't care how many steps it is. My wife is first. There's no steps between us, and then everything else comes second. And that's just how I live. So I would get curious about why you're a little furious. There's a little something in there. So if you get curious about that, I think you're going to find some insight, some wisdom. It's going to be kind of dope.
And maybe even, I would say, just even teach her why your marriage comes before the children, so that even if she doesn't agree with you yet, that she has some understanding of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Have her imagine when she's married. Because when she gets married, does she want her husband to put the kids first? Mm-hmm. And then actually come up with a scenario. Like, hey, you're at a restaurant, and you're supposed to be meeting with your husband. But he said, you know what? I'm going to go help Lil Pute. I don't know why their name is Pute and what neighborhood they're in right now. I'm going to go help them sign up for soccer. And then you're like, how would that feel? And then it can carry on in this format, but the other format is limited. Like, people start breaking up and getting mad and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Boom. Great question, yo. I appreciate that. It's better to be curious than furious. Cool. Let's take another voicemail.
Michael Jr., my name is Tammy Reese. I was having a very bad day, and somebody sent me your YouTube video of you and your wife discussing
about your kids and what order you put your marriage and God and everybody. I just want to let you know that I was thinking about leaving my husband, and after watching that, I remember where God and my husband are placed in my life, and I thank you so much for that, and I just really appreciate you.
Wow.
And thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Wow. That is so powerful.
Praise the Lord.
That is dope.
Praise the Lord.
Man, wow. Yeah, we're still going to end the podcast. I just want to point that out. We're still going No. Wow, that is so powerful.
I'm very, very excited.
To hear that is so cool.
That just a change in perspective can...
Man, that is powerful.
Have that kind of an impact. Wow.
You could hear in her voice the type of day she was having too. Man, that's so powerful. Mm. Wow. Thanks for that, no name lady. She didn't leave her name, did she?
Tammy, I think.
That's what I said. Thanks for that, Tammy. Appreciate it. Your comments really mean a lot. Like, that's pretty powerful.
That's awesome.
Wow. We should pray for Tammy. Lord, bless Tammy, her family, her marriage.
Yes, Father.
In every way. Rebuke the enemy for their sake. Let them trust in you with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Boom. That's dope. Let's do another voicemail. I'm going to try again and see if this person is available.
Hi, Michael Jr. Okay. My name is Michelle Hernandez.
Hey, Michelle.
And I was wondering if I can say Ebony. I was wondering. I just finished listening to the podcast with Mac and Alicia. And I was wondering if they are working towards getting remarried. I mean, they've worked through that major issue. And they are growing and learning and have matured so much. So what's holding them back? Or maybe they are getting married and it's a surprise.
Wow.
But I just want to hear your thoughts on that. I am one who, I guess, always wants a happy ending. I don't watch movies that I know don't end well. So thank you.
Wow. That's a really good question. For those who don't understand, we did an episode. You want to tell them about the episode?
Yes, we had Mac and Alicia on, who used to be married. They are now divorced, and they both gave us their testimony on how God healed them through that process. And they are currently in a very productive and warm, caring co-parenting relationship with their son. And they... I'm sorry, Michelle, to tell you this, are currently not working on getting back together.
Well, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Yeah. So a lot of people do want them to get back together. That is because Mac is my guy and he comes to my event sometimes. Sometimes I have him share the story and people are like, oh, you guys be so cool. But we let God work that whole thing out. I'm not going to put any additional pressure on that situation. I'm just going to let the Lord do what he's supposed to do. But let's call Mac to see what the status is with that anyway. We'll just call him to see, because we got the question. Should we call Mac or her?
Call him for sure.
You sure?
No, she would freak out.
Oh man. That's even better. That's better TV. If she would. Okay, let's find out. All right, here we go.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Cool. I'm good, how are you?
Amazing. Hey, I'm on a podcast right now, buddy.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and I'm on a podcast and we're listening to voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a voicemail from a...
Michelle Hernandez.
From a lady named Michelle. It's a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. And her last wish was... just play. It's not
Perfect. Let's go ahead and cue it up.
Her question was a question that you get at events when you speak about your story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it pertains to you and a really good friend of yours.
Okay.
Named Alicia.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you probably know what the question is at this point. She's like, they work so well together. What are they going to? Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to put no pressure on Mac. That's his own stuff. Let me call him. So. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. So. The relationship is, she needs some kind of closure is what Michelle's looking for. But I don't really know Michelle. So you can say whatever you want to say, either or give people an update on how your relationship is going as far as just the friendship part. But what's the 30-second version of what you can give me with no warning right now?
Sure. Oh, well, I think, one, I don't think I'll be able to give her closure, but I think that's one of the beautiful things about a lot of relationships is that they don't need closure. Really, what we've done, Alicia and I, has actually created a lot of openness, and which is really probably the opposite of what we're saying there, mm-hmm. in that we're just operating from a place of love and freedom. I mean, we took our son to his first day of kindergarten together, and then even went out this morning afterwards, and there with Alicia's mom, taking our son to kindergarten. And afterwards, Alicia's mom even said, "Hey, you guys should go out to breakfast together, the two of you, and celebrate all that you've been able to accomplish together over the last 6 years, as parents, as friends." And so, I think it's taken a lot of work to get to where we are, and it's beautiful to see the outcome that we're in. Not to get to a point where any, because I know that's a common question is, you know, where are we at? Where's the story at? You know, I think everybody's looking for that happy ending. And the reality is we don't need an ending yet because we're happy.
Ooh, that is dope.
I like that.
We don't need an ending because we're happy. What the deal? That is beautiful, man. That's wow. Hey, is she over there right now? No, I'm just playing for real. But I got her on Find My Friends. So I'm gonna find out if she's at your house right now. But we don't need a happy ending because be quiet. Cool, dude. I'm proud of you, man. That is so awesome, man. You actually, for those who don't know, Mac is the guinea pig to a lot of the stuff that we create. Every time we create a process or God gives us something, we go to Mac. And this dude does it, and then he's blessed a lot of people because of the way he thinks now. So, mm-hmm. And just in general, dude, you bless me. I love you, man.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I love you too, and thank you. Thanks for the impromptu question, and for anybody who continues to want to ask questions about that. I love talking about the journey, and the reality is we're not at the happy ending point yet because this isn't the end of the journey. So we'll continue mm-hmm. talking about it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. That you're doing too much now, okay, buddy? It's my podcast. Okay.
Well, you got an editor. You can take this out.
Yeah, cool. Good stuff, man. We appreciate you.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Mac.
All right, bye. Yo, that's so cool. That was a great line he said. He said, I don't remember the line, but it was a good one. You know, I felt it when he said it, so that's what's important. Boom, I think we want to do another voicemail?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take another voicemail.
Hi, Michael Jr. I was wondering, am I the problem? Am I overthinking this? So when I got married, my husband and I agreed to raise a godly family, had biblical principles. But then about 13, 14 years into the marriage, he changed his philosophy, and the Bible no longer has final authority over finances or any other decisions, which has resulted in us losing lots of money through poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now that new philosophy is now in place, I feel very discontented. Is it me? Am I in the wrong place to keep feeling discontented? Should I relax in the fact that the Lord loves me and takes care of our family? Or is it normal for me to feel worried and discontented, knowing that my family is on a different trajectory than what we talked about? Let me know what you think and what your wife thinks. I'm curious. I have no idea who to talk to about this. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. She doesn't know who to talk to about discontented. I'm going to say talk to Webster. Is that a word? Discontented? Is that a word? I don't know. I don't think that's a word.
Discontented.
I like that. She's from New York.
Wow. Okay. So is it normal? I would say it's typical for someone to feel that way. Is it the best way to handle your emotions in this? I would say probably not, because worry never paid any dividends for anybody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You want to start?
Yeah, I'll jump in for sure. So, the question, the real question, the core of the question is it your fault? Is it you? And I would say yes. And the reason I would say yes, is because that's where all of the power is. That's where the control is. Like if it's something that you've done, then you get to figure out what you did and why you did it, and then that's where the freedom is. If it's something that someone else did to you, then you're handicapped. There's nothing you can do. And then regardless of the way that you're not wrong for feeling that way, But I would ask you to question why you feel that way. Meaning, he went on a different path. It wasn't like it was all of a sudden. He didn't come home. He wasn't doing a Bible study with you in the morning. And then he ate some food. And then suddenly that dude said, the devil's my man. Like, it didn't happen that quick. Like, something was going on gradually. So maybe look and say, hey, like, how was your prayer life? Like, how was that going down? Meaning, I would just get curious about you and what's going on. Because even the stuff he's doing, veering off on the path or whatever, you getting mad is not going to bring him closer to Jesus. It's just not going to happen. You getting upset or all that, it's just not. So what you want to find out is, what can you learn in this season about you? Because he's doing something that you don't want him to do, and it's heavy for you. But when you go to the gym, there's some weights there that are heavy for you. And if you try to pick them up, there's going to be some resistance. But because of the resistance, you're actually going to get stronger. So how can you use this resistance for you to get stronger? Not so much as an individual, but even as a wife. Like, there's something in you where this is bothering you, because we're supposed to be working to be more like Jesus. Jesus went through some stuff. I'll ask you this question, even though I know you can't answer it. Has your cousin, not your cousin, your husband, because if your husband is your cousin, you asked the wrong question. Anyway, has your husband ever spit in your face? I'm going to assume you said no right now, but let me amplify it a little more. Has your husband and some other guys at the same time ever spit in your face? You probably said no. Has your husband ever kicked you and pulled out a whip and whipped you with the whip? Not in a kinky way. I know some people. Anyway, has he ever whipped you with a whip with some steel on it and to snatch your skin out? No, because you probably would have brought that up instead of what you're talking about now. Has your husband ever nailed you to a cross and set you up to die? No. He's never done any of that stuff before. But Jesus had all of that stuff done to him. And the thing that he said about the people who were doing it to him was, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. His words about them was to the Father to help them. How did he get to that place? How did he get there? Well, there's a way to get there, but it's not by going through your husband. It's by looking at yourself to say, how can I be more like him through this thing? So I'm telling you, that's where it's at. So yes, it's 100% on you.
And I just want to clarify something that you said, that you corrected it, but it sounded like a little weird. And that is, you're not responsible for how your husband is behaving or his beliefs or anything like that. That's not what we're saying. What you are responsible for is how you're responding to how your husband is behaving. So, yes. So it's not like, oh, if you would have prayed harder, you would have been a better wife, or you would have been more attentive, or, you know, whatever. None of that has anything to do with your husband's behavior. Okay, so just want to make that clear.
100%.
But how you're responding to your husband in this season is super important, because your witness is going to witness to him, and how you respond to him, it's really going to solidify for him who Christ is for you.
Ooh.
And if you get on the train with him and go up and down with him and get angry or mad or distant or whatever because he's not being who you want him to be, well, that's not really showing him the love of Christ, because Christ loved us even though we were his enemy. Christ loved us even though we were not, didn't love him first. You know, it was like Christ loved us just because Christ loved us. And so as his children, as God's children, it's our job to figure out how to get there, how to get to the place where I'm going to love you no matter where you are or what you're doing, the best way that I know how, and be free while I'm doing it.
That's great. Yes. That's
so,
the key.
So that, what he said and what I said, 100%. They go together. And so we're not putting any responsibility on your husband to change or to do better or to come back to Christ or anything. All we're going to do is do the best thing we know how to do as believers and children of God, and let the Holy Spirit take care of that.
Absolutely. And notice that she said, I really like the phrase that you said, which is, and be free while doing so. Mm-hmm. So what she's not saying, if your husband makes you upset, you got to act like you're okay with it.
Right.
Because that stuff will create sickness and disease.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right. You want to actually be free of the thing. So if your husband does something and you get upset for it, You take that to God and be like, God, what is this in me? I don't want this. You take it. Mm-hmm. I don't want that little feeling right there. What is this in me? And God will actually do it. If you, we in our course, we explain to you in detail how to pull that off. If you want to get the Funny How Marriage Works course, but it's really just taking it to God and mm-hmm. actually giving it to him, right? Renewing the mind, mm-hmm. be not conformed. It's actually renewing the mind. There's a mm-hmm. process where you could do that. And then once you renewed in that area, that thing that your husband that doesn't bother you anymore. Mm-hmm. But then you may say something else to him and now that's bothering you. And then you're like, ooh, well, thank you for that. And then you mm-hmm. take that thing to God and release it and renew your mind. As your mind gets renewed, you become a new human. You start looking different to people. You start looking different to him because those things don't bother you anymore. So if they whip you and put you on a cross, at some point you're going to be like, yo, forgive my husband, for he don't know what he did.
I'm sorry, I just got this visual while you were talking of... It's like you've come to the bottom of a mountain, and this mountain is whatever your husband is doing. And at the bottom of this hill, you're worried, you're confused, you don't know what to do. And you can stay at the bottom of the mountain if you want to. Or you can push through, go up the hill, get to the top, get a revelation from the Lord, and have freedom on the other side. Mm. You don't have to move the mountain. The Holy Spirit will do that. You just have to get free while you're going through this situation.
Whoa, just a mustard seed of faith. And the mountain can be moved by the Holy Spirit that's in you. Whoa, I'm going to drop the telephone. I don't want to drop it. It might break. Boom. Now it's time to go off the cuff.
Off the cuff?
Yeah. You want me to go off the cuff?
Yep.
Okay. The off-the-cuff moment I want to go off the cuff on is our friend Tammy. Tammy was dope. Tammy was having a hard day. Things were very hard between her and her husband, her whole family, whatever the case was. You could hear it in her voice. Yet Tammy still had her head on a swivel enough to listen for something that could help. She wasn't so angry and so bad. She still watched a YouTube video that somebody sent to her. She still had somebody around her who cared enough to send her something. Her ears were open enough, and she found relief and stayed where she was. She continued moving on with her family. She pressed on towards the mark to win the prize at a high calling. What about you? Have you or are you or have you ever been at a place where you just felt like I can't go any further? And then in that place, what did you reach for? Did you reach for a drink? Did you reach for remote control? Did you reach for social media? Or did you allow yourself to have an opportunity to hear something that could be coming from the Lord? I highly recommend you do the latter because, my goodness, there's some freedom there for you. That's the off-the-cuff moment I decided to go off-the-cuff on. With that being said, for my amazing wife and myself, we love you, we love you, we love you. It is funny how life works.